back to That Damn Sports Podcast Part 2. This is our college football part. As you know, we just dropped Part 1 about a day ago that was focused on the NFL. Now we're going to do our Part 2, which is college football based. So interesting episode. I think this is for the first time in our 30 episodes we've been doing that I am by myself. Mikey had some obligations. You know, you guys got to be a little understanding here with David is very busy with he's graduating in December. He's got a lot of internships lined up and trying to finish up school. Mikey is also, like I said, works for the USC football team. He's busy all the time with that, especially with them being in season. So, you know, there's going to be parts where stuff like this may happen. Hopefully it won't happen very often where it's just someone by themselves. But it is me. College football is my thing, so I feel pretty confident that we'll be able to get a good episode out, at least with me on my own. So we're going to jump right into it. We're going to cover a little bit of what happened in week four, and then mostly look ahead to week five and what's coming up this upcoming weekend, because we've got some really good ranked matchups now that the conference play is starting to kick up and get started. But like I said, we'll look back in to this past weekend. I think the biggest storyline from the past weekend, in my opinion, was number six, Oklahoma, dropping to Kansas State. I mean, I don't think anyone's surprised here. Not necessarily that they lost to Kansas State, but the fact that Oklahoma lost a conference game. I think the loss of Caleb Williams, the loss of Lincoln Riley, you know, we all kind of knew that the Big 12 was down, Oklahoma was going to be down, and I don't think there's going to be anybody from the Big 12 that's going to represent for the college football playoff. I look at the game itself, you know, it's hard to really see where it went wrong for Oklahoma. They didn't really turn the ball over. They had just as many yards offensively. Kansas State just put them away. I look at the quarterback play, you know, Oklahoma threw for 330, Kansas State threw for 234. Oklahoma threw for four touchdowns, Kansas State's one. But the rushing game, in terms of touchdowns at least, there were zero rushing touchdowns for Oklahoma, four rushing touchdowns for Kansas State. The rushing difference, 220 for Oklahoma, 275 for Kansas State. Not much separating the two. I think it's just wasn't Oklahoma's day. And, you know, the bigger storyline here is not necessarily the game itself. It's the fact that Oklahoma was probably the best team out of the Big 12 that had the biggest – they're the best chance to represent the Big 12 in the college football playoff. And we all kind of saw this one coming. They lost early on in the season, and I think kind of knocks out any opportunity for a Big 12 team. With the Big 12 being so down, it's going to be hard for the credibility of a Baylor, an Oklahoma State, an Oklahoma, Kansas State to one-loss team, for a team like that to represent. Now, you know, the Cinderella that everyone's referencing, and there's absolutely no way a college football playoff berth is possible for this team, in my opinion. But Kansas is undefeated. But, yeah, I think the bigger storyline here is the best team from the Big 12 lost, and I don't really think – I think that kind of knocked the Big 12 out of contention for a college football playoff appearance. But that was the storyline there, in my opinion. Another big takeaway from the weekend, Middle Tennessee State, you know, I know the scoreline was a little closer than we thought, but if you watch the game, Middle Tennessee State steamrolled number 25 Miami to get their first top 25 win in program history. I look at the stats for Middle Tennessee State, 408 yards through the air, three touchdowns, ran the ball for 100 yards. I mean, just offensively, just absolutely annihilated the Miami defense. And I think this really – Miami just continues to prove us right. You know, it's always with them this preseason hype that Miami's this. And I guess it's they're still holding on to the history of Miami because the U back in the day was the Alabama of college football. But it's time to just, you know, we need to just Miami until they show me something of relevance in the next coming years. They need to not be brought up. They're 2-2 so far. A loss to Texas A&M and now Middle Tennessee State. Definitely out of the rankings. Can't get consistent quarterback play at all. Turnovers have been a problem for them all year. The defense just got absolutely – the defense is a big problem for them as well. You know, Miami really showed the colors, but hats off Middle Tennessee State. Shout out to my friend. He was a former teammate of mine. Jalen Lane had a great game. I'm going to look at the stats here for him. He had four catches for 130 yards. But yeah, hats off to Tennessee State. Congrats, the first top 25 win. That's a big win for them. Not discrediting anything from them, but I think this really does show the true colors of Miami. And to really bounce back off that, another team that is really showing their true colors and that gets this preseason hype, the Texas Longhorns. And they lose to Texas Tech. Now, Texas Tech, you know, you say what you want. I was not a big believer in Texas Tech. I said that in a couple episodes ago when I was referring to them playing NC State. They didn't lose to NC State. But Texas, man, it's almost identical to Miami. It's because of the history and I guess because they are in Texas and the money side of it and whatever it may be, always find a way to mess it up. Now, I they're 2-2. The loss to Alabama is not a bad loss. They took Alabama toe-to-toe to the very end. Very unlucky to not win that game or at least go to overtime that game. But you can't lose Texas Tech. I know it's in Lubbock, and I know it's a road game, and it's, I guess, technically a rivalry game. I don't really know much about the rivalry between Texas Tech and Texas, but I can assume, being in the state of Texas, you can't lose this game. If you're going to consider yourself a perennial powerhouse and you want to – I don't know. Texas Tech, to me, is a team, especially with that defense, you have to win. And Texas is one of the teams in the Big 12 and that prides themselves on having a better defense because we know the Big 12, the Pac-12, they get a knack for their lack of defense. You give up 37 to Texas Tech. I don't know at this point, what else do you say about Texas? When they were before this game, you know, they're 2-1. But with that one loss to Alabama, they could easily be 3-0. You're sitting there thinking, well, no, maybe Texas is a legit contender, or not maybe a contender for national championship, but they're on the rise. And then you do this. And now, granted, like I said, Texas Tech is 3-1, hadn't really played much anybody. The only team they played that was really any good before Texas was NC State, and they lost that game. I look at the game itself, you know, Texas Tech threw for 330 yards, ran for 150. Not a big turnover differential. Actually, not a big turnover differential at all. I think it was only plus one to Texas Tech. So Texas, Miami, those two, I'm tired of hearing about them. I don't want to hear about them anymore until they can put together a consistent season, which obviously I'm not expecting either team to go undefeated I'm not necessarily saying Miami should win the ACC, but they should at least be a team that Clemson should have a run for. Texas especially in their in the Big 12 should be a team contending to win the Big 12 every year. And I'm not saying they can't now. They are only own. That was their first conference game. But I don't want to hear anything about Texas. I don't want to hear anything about Miami until I get consistent play from either one of them. Because it's every year that we are doing the same cycle. The fact that Miami was preseason ranked blows my mind. I could see why Texas was preseason ranked. The fact that Miami was preseason ranked blows my mind. They lose Middle Tennessee State. Texas loses Texas Tech. I'm done. I don't want to hear about them the rest of the season until they can clean up this act and beat teams that they should be beating. Because it seems to be a common trend with both of these teams and both these programs year after year. So now we'll move on to a game that was very exciting. And, you know, I was actually very impressed. And that was with Clemson. I was impressed with Clemson, to be honest with you. I know this is going to surprise people, but I was impressed with Clemson and I was impressed with Wake Forest. Especially Sam Hart, the quarterback play is what really, really stuck out to me. And Clemson survived. You know, I think I am a little worried about Clemson long term. I think that they are, in terms of on paper, you look at them, they're much better than Wake Forest. I know they were on the road, but I don't know how much of a home field advantage Wake Forest really gives you. I think Clemson, this is a game that Clemson should have won by more. But, you know, they gutted it out. They won. They're still undefeated. And they're going to have a huge test this upcoming weekend that is really going to show me where I think Clemson really stands. But we'll get to that in a little bit when we start covering the games coming up this weekend. Look at the quarterback play. Sam Hartman for Wake Forest on that side of the ball. 20 of 29, 337, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Unbelievable game from Sam Hartman. And I'm someone who I haven't been the biggest Sam Hartman fan. I hadn't really been a big vocalist about it. I thought maybe he was a little overrated to a degree, especially after seeing what he did in the ACC championship against Pitt. And then seeing on the other side of the ball, you see a guy like Kenny Pickett, who could really outclass Sam Hartman. But to against Clemson, man, he showed up, and the loss cannot be put in his hand to throw six touchdowns for 330 and zero interceptions, because he had an interception problem last year. To throw zero interceptions against that Clemson defense, great game from him. I think the biggest difference in this game was the rushing. So you look at Wake Forest, they ran for 110. Clemson ran for 188. But not only did they run for 188, they had Will Shipley, who I think was a huge factor in this game. Will Shipley ran for 100 yards and a touchdown. But then their second leading rusher for Clemson was DJ Uiagalelei. He ran for 50 yards. I mean, you're getting 50 yards rushing from your quarterback. That's something that's hard for a defense to scheme, hard for defense to play against. And that adds, like I said, there's a 70-yard difference in the rushing game between the two teams. So, it was pretty neck and neck. Obviously, it went to overtime. So not too much separating the two. I think the key here was, and also let me, I talked about Sam Hartman. Let me talk about DJ. 26 of 41, 371, five touchdowns, zero picks. So between the two quarterbacks, you had close to 700 yards total, and 11 touchdowns, zero interceptions. That is unbelievable quarterback play. Watching those two duel it out was actually, I mean, they seemed like some of the best quarterbacks in the country at the time. I think now people need to hop off DJ's case. And anyone who listens to podcast knows I'm a Gamecock. I'm a diehard Gamecock. And I, you know, but I said it before. I think a lot of the hate coming for DJ comes from the fact that of the history of the quarterbacks before him. Okay. Yes. And I know he's not, I don't consider him an elite level, but you had a Taj Boyd. Then you get Deshaun Watson. Then you have Kelly Bryant. Then you have Trevor Lawrence. You get all these elite quarterbacks, and you expect DJ to be like a Trevor Lawrence and a Deshaun Watson. And that's just not fair to expect from every quarterback. But he is an elite. He is one of the best quarterbacks in this country. That is a fact. He has the ability to get Clemson to the college football playoff. Now, what he does against another elite defense, we're going to see, because we saw what happened when he played an elite defense against Georgia last year. And we're gonna see. And I think that leads us into this upcoming week for DJ. First of all, let me just retrace my steps because I got a little carried away. DJ is an elite level quarterback. He should be the starting quarterback at Clemson. I don't want to hear anything about their freshman, whatever it may be. He is the guy, in my opinion, for Clemson. And this upcoming week against NC State is going to really show, I think, everybody what DJ's about. If DJ shows up and performs and they beat NC State, I don't want to hear anything else about DJ. And they need to keep DJ in the entire season. DJ chokes against another elite level defense, then that question can be arose and you can talk about it a little more. But I think people need to hop off DJ's case because this game showed it. Five touchdowns, 370, zero interceptions. But hats off to Wake Forest, Sam Hartman. I thought they played great. So now those are the main ones. Also, I do want to talk about App State. That was a team that I looked at them losing James Madison. And I'm gonna look this up real quick. What? Let's see, because I know who they have played for the most part. I know week one they barely lose to NC State, took NC State to the wire. Then I know they go to College Station and pull off one of the biggest upsets, in my opinion, in recent memory against an elite Texas Tech team in College Station. But then this is what's weird. Yeah, I'm looking at it. I didn't know who they played week three. So you lose the NC, you lose to UNC by 2 points. Then you beat Texas A&M on the road, massive upset, huge upset. One would argue that's almost bigger than their upset against Michigan in Ann Arbor. Then you play Troy, who I'm sure, and they had game day, and Troy was a better team for their conference and what it may be. But when you win by four, and then you lose to James Madison, who I know James Madison is a team that, they just got promoted to D1. They've been on the rise at the D2 level at least, or the FCS, whatever level it was, or FBS. But then you lose to them. Actually, it's weird to me, man. Because I was even thinking, I remember talking to Mikey about it. If they would have beat UNC, right? And then beat App State. And then beat Troy, right? And then this is before they play James Madison. I'm like, well, I mean, I know the rest of their schedule isn't elite, but you're gonna have to make an argument for them, at least like a Cincinnati. like you did last year, and say they ran the table in this conference, but they do have the wins against two Power 5 teams, UNC and a very good Texas A&M team, you can make an argument for App State to be the fourth seed in the playoff, like you did for Cincinnati, because honestly, that Texas A&M win and that UNC win, I think, were bigger than any of Cincinnati's wins last year. I know the A&M win was bigger than any of Cincinnati's wins last year, but that was just something I was intrigued by and I was so curious by. But and I was going to bring up to talk about if they had beat James Madison this week, it'd have been a very interesting talking point. But they messed that up for me and lost James Madison, so that's not even worth talking about. But there's no denying App State's a legit team, we never really got to address the Texas A&M game because we didn't talk college football last week. And then another team that I want to talk about before we get to this the upcoming games for this week. And it's because I kind of want to toot my own horn a little bit, is the Tennessee Volunteers. If you recall, I said when we were doing our preseason college football episode that my team that I think was going to be the sleeper and the team that people that could really make a run was going to be the Tennessee Volunteers. And they're proving me right. If I'm not mistaken, I believe they're in the top 10. I think they're eighth in the country. And with the way their schedule's lining up, it's going to be tough. But I think Tennessee has the ability to beat some of these teams in the SEC West or in the SEC that would put them above the edge, or at least and put it to where you have to have that discussion. If they're a one-loss team, then maybe they make a playoff. Here's the problem that Tennessee is going to consistently run into, though. And it is the fact – yes, they are eighth in the country, by the way, just confirmed. Their West foe, their SEC West foe that they have to play every year, is Alabama. And you're in SEC East, so you know you're going to have to play Georgia. So no matter what, every year, Tennessee is going to have to play Alabama and Georgia. And that is going to make your life so difficult. And that's really unfair. I like the tradition of you play the same SEC West team. If you're a Tennessee man, that's awful. I mean, that is relentless. I look at their schedule, the remaining schedule. They play three teams in the top 10 right now. Now, whether Kentucky's still in the top 10, you'll see. We'll talk. The Florida game, though, Hendon Hooker, I said it before, he's a Heisman candidate in my opinion right now. He went 22 of 28, 350 passing and two touchdowns, zero interceptions. He also ran the ball for 112 yards and a touchdown. So total offense had close to 450 and three touchdowns, zero turnovers. And I want to keep in mind, well, actually, no, Hyatt did play, so my apologies there. But Hendon Hooker, Tennessee beat a very good Florida team. Okay, Anthony Richardson still played, I think, a great game. Wasn't as accurate as you'd like, but he still threw 24-44, threw for 450 yards and two picks, or two touchdowns with a pick, but also ran for 62 yards. So he had about 500 yards. He actually did have 500 yards by himself and four touchdowns. So that's not an easy team to beat. I know Florida, you know, lost Kentucky at home and whatever, whatnot, but that's still a good team. It was a ranked team. And Tennessee is 4-0. And this is a team you're going to have to look out for, especially because of this offense. And they finally are getting – their defense is now – in my opinion, their defense is a top 10 defense. So you have a top 10 defense with a very explosive, explosive offense. This is a team that I would not want to play. If I'm Georgia and I'm Alabama, I do not want to play Tennessee. Because the fact of – now, the problem with Tennessee is they going to be able to maintain this high power of an offense week in and week out? That is what we're going to have to wait and see. But if they can, that defense is going to keep them in games. It's going to keep them in a game against Alabama. It's going to keep them in the game against Georgia. The key against those two teams, though, is going to be Tennessee's offense. Because Alabama's got elite-level defense. Georgia has the best defense in the entire country. So – it's high power. They're going to be very interesting matchups. I think they beat Kentucky. I'm still not high on Kentucky. I know they're undefeated. They're ranked seventh, whatever. I'm not high on Kentucky. I'm just not. I think Will Levis is a great quarterback. Not high on him. I'm going to – you know what? I'm booking it here right now. I'm going to say that Alabama – or not Alabama. Tennessee at least gets one against Alabama or Georgia. I will not make a prediction as to who. I don't know who. But I think they beat either Alabama or Georgia. I do not think they go 0-2 against those two. I hope they beat Georgia because that's going to really spice things up in terms of who gets to Atlanta. But Tennessee, a one-loss Tennessee team If my prediction is right, and they beat LSU, they beat Tennessee Martin, they beat Missouri, they beat Kentucky, and then they split between Alabama and Georgia. And we'll say it's going to be very interesting. And we'll say we won't say that. If they split between Alabama and Georgia, you got a one-loss Tennessee team, possibly in Atlanta. College football playoff berth is 100% in the picture. 100%. Because a loss to an Alabama or a loss to a Georgia, if that's your one loss, you're getting in as long as you win the SEC championship. So like I said, my prediction preseason was that Tennessee is going to shock some people. Tennessee is going to make some noise, and they're doing it so far. I just really hope they can continue this consistent play. They don't slip up in a game they shouldn't lose, like an LSU or a Missouri. Handle business against Kentucky, because I think you are the better team. It's going to be a great game. I think you are the better team, and find a way to pull off the upset against either an Alabama or a Georgia. Because they do that, Tennessee is a college football playoff contender if they can find that split between those two. Watch out for Tennessee and Tennessee Volunteers. I called it. They've always been a team you talked about preseason, but they're actually showing it this year. And Hendon Hooker is a reason why. So keep him on your radar. Keep the Volunteers on your radar. Watch out. They're going to beat Alabama or Georgia, one of the two. If not both, probably not going to happen though. Now, look ahead to week 5 in college football. I'm just going to go down mostly the top 25 and who plays who, because I think those are the games that really matter. So it's going to be weird with this hurricane coming through. If games will get moved, South Carolina's already moved their game to Thursday. Clemson has not moved their game, which surprised me. Florida State has also not moved their game, which surprises me. So we're going to see. Now, I look at number 1, Georgia, Missouri. Pretty cut and dry, Georgia. Actually, I'm going to keep track of my record on this. I'm very curious as to how well I do. But Georgia over Missouri, I think landslide. I wish I had the spreads with me, because I would either hit the over-under. But, yeah, Georgia 100% smashes Missouri, in my opinion. A very interesting game, Alabama-Arkansas. KJ Jefferson is going to give Arkansas a chance. They're a very physical team. They're a team that can punch you in the mouth, run the ball. But – that's going to work against 95% of college football teams. It ain't going to work against Alabama, because Alabama's going to punch you right back. I think Arkansas, it's going to be a good game. I think they're going to give Alabama a good test, but I think Alabama takes care of business. I didn't like what I saw from Arkansas against A&M. I thought it was sloppy. I think Alabama wins this by 2 touchdowns, at least. I think it'll be close in the first half. I think KJ Jefferson, like I said, that running ability with him at quarterback is going to give you an opportunity. But I don't know how sustainable it is going to be for a full 4 quarters against Alabama Crimson Tide. Don't see it. Number 3, Ohio State versus Rutgers. Ohio State, not a bit. I mean, Ohio State's one of the best teams in the country. I think they are a legit team this year, and a legit team that could win the national championship. And Rutgers is Rutgers. Michigan at Iowa. Iowa has one of the best defenses in the country. It has one of the worst offenses in the country. It's baffling to me. If they can figure out the offense on the ball, Iowa would actually be a really, really, really good team, because that defense is elite. That offense is atrocious, though. Michigan takes care of business there. This is the one that I'm the most excited to see, because I'm curious as to where NC State really is and where DJ and Clemson really are. Because, you know, NC State struggled week 1 against ECU, and I was like, okay, this shows their true colors. But then they beat Texas Tech, which is looking like a good win. I do want to see, you know, where DJ stands, where Devin Leary stands, quarterback for NC State. It's going to be a battle. I think if NC State wins this, you got to watch out, because the rest of their schedule kind of lines up for them to be able to run the table. And let me just go ahead and look up the rest of their schedule so I can get that confirmed. But yeah, so. Well, actually, I kind of take that back, because some of the teams that they are playing are actually performed better than I thought. But anyway, if NC State can find a way to beat Clemson here, you play Florida State the next week, which, you know, Florida State's a good team, but I think NC State's better. Then you play Syracuse, who's undefeated, but haven't really played much of anybody. Then they play Virginia Tech, who is not looking the best. Then they play Wake and Boston College. If NC State can pull out this Clemson win, you got to really keep them on your radar for a college football playoff appearance as well. Now, they slip up against a Florida State or a Syracuse or a Wake Forest, even if they beat Clemson, they're done. They got to run the table. But if they beat Clemson, NC State is a serious college football playoff contender as long as they don't slip up. But if I'm being honest with you, not a big believer in NC State. I think they slip up. And if I'm going to be even more honest with you, I don't even think we get to that point, because I like Clemson over NC State. It's in Death Valley. Okay, for one. I think DJ is better than Devin Leary. Devin Leary has not impressed me as the NC State quarterback this year. I think NC State has a really good defense, but I think Clemson's rushing attack is going to get the job done. I think Clemson's defense is going to shut down Devin Leary because he has played mediocre against way worse defenses. Clemson has an elite defense. I like Clemson over NC State, and I like Clemson over NC State by 10 points. Me being a Gamecock fan, I hope I'm wrong. But I got to be honest here. I like Clemson at least by 10. Especially being at home. Now it's going to be a messy, sloppy game with that hurricane, so that could change everything. But we're going to see. USC, number six USC versus Arizona State. I mean, Arizona State, they're in shambles, man. That Herm Edwards stuff, where coaches are giving the opposing team their playbook and just trying to get them fired, they're in shambles. And Caleb Williams, Lincoln Riley, take care of business. As if they don't, they're not legit. USC of Arizona State. Kentucky at Ole Miss. I am taking Kentucky, or not Kentucky, I am taking Ole Miss, and for two reasons. One, they got these new little Realtree helmets, camouflage, light blue helmets that I think look sick. And secondly, I don't really have much reason to here because I think Will Levis is the better quarterback in this battle. I think Kentucky is probably the better team. But I'm taking Ole Miss because, one, it's college football, and I'm not going to keep picking the favorites. And two, I hate Kentucky. I hate Mark Stoops or Bob Stoops, whatever the fuck his name is. I hate Kentucky. I'm taking Ole Miss because so far I've taken all of the favorites. Taking Ole Miss just so I can say F you, Kentucky, even though I think Will Levis is a great quarterback and he is going to be an NFL quarterback for a long time. And if you don't know who that is, that's a Kentucky quarterback. But long story short, Ole Miss over Kentucky, especially since it's in Oxford. I look at number nine, Oklahoma State versus number 16, Baylor. This is a battle of the Big 12. This is a rematch of last year's Big 12 championship. If you remember, Oklahoma State lost by a yard. Was a yard short of potentially making the college football playoff. So I think they come out with, I know it's on the road, it's at Baylor, but I think the sole factor of motivation, you lost by a yard in that Big 12 championship, they really took something away from you. I'm taking Oklahoma State. I think that their quarterback play, what's his name? Spencer Sanders has played great for Oklahoma State so far this year. I like Oklahoma State over Baylor. Then we go to number 11, Penn State versus Northwestern. Northwestern is so just all over the place. I never know. And I want them to be good because I like Ryan Helinski. But you lose to Miami of Ohio. I don't have much faith and much love for you. I like Penn State over Northwestern. Utah, number 12, Utah versus Oregon State. I think Oregon State has not looked bad this year, if I'm being honest. And Utah, I've been vocal that I'm not a big fan of them. I'm calling the upset here. I'm taking Oregon State over Utah. Book it. Stanford versus Oregon. Bo Nix looked just he's just not a good quarterback. Bo Nix is just not the answer. I know they snuck one out last week, but you know what? I'm taking another upset. I'm taking Stanford over Oregon. So we got Oregon State over number 12 Utah, Stanford over number 13 Oregon. Mississippi State, Texas A&M. You know Texas A&M. The App State loss, I think, really took the wind out of their sails, but they were bounced back, beat a ranked Arkansas team last week. Mississippi State does not look very good. I'm taking Texas A&M to handle business on the road against Mississippi State in Starkville. Number 18, Oklahoma at TCU. You know what? TCU is undefeated. TCU has looked pretty promising. The offense looks really good. And you know, Oklahoma, man, I was vocal about it before. I was picking all the favorites to start. I'm picking another upset. Oklahoma's going to Fort Worth. They're playing on the road at TCU. I'm taking the Horned Frogs over number 18, Oklahoma. Minnesota versus Purdue. Minnesota. Simple as that. I don't really know much about Purdue other than the fact that it's Purdue. So, and I know that Minnesota's at home. I'm taking Purdue. No, oh, this is a good one. Number 22, Wake Forest at number 23, Florida State. Really weird that they haven't moved this game yet with this hurricane coming through. And it's at Florida State. Sam Hartman played great last week. But it being on the road, this makes it a very, very, very tough game for me. But if I'm being honest, you know what? With the storm situation, a more experienced quarterback, I'm taking Sam Hartman and Wake Forest Demon Deacons after what I saw from them against Clemson last week. They're better than I thought they were. And with this hurricane and all this extra stuff, the home field advantage to me, it doesn't really make much of a difference here. I'm taking Sam Hartman and Wake Forest over Florida State. And then we got two more games. Number 24, Pitt versus Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's in shambles. They look awful. I remember thinking the first half of week one against Clemson, I was like, hey, they don't look too bad. They look awful. I'm taking Pitt over Georgia Tech. And then number 25, Kansas State versus Texas Tech. Actually, a very interesting game here. Texas Tech just got off beating Texas. Kansas State just got off beating Oklahoma. It's gonna be very interesting. I think it's gonna be a very, very good game. Honestly, it's a game that I think a lot of people have not been talking about that they should be. But I think with it being at Kansas State, I am gonna take Kansas State over Texas Tech. And that right there is we are going. That's it. That's the top 25 matchups. There's plenty of other good games out in college football. I'm gonna be curious to see what happens, but I just didn't want to get too carried away with too many games and going over too much. But yeah, so that concludes part two, episode 30 of the college football portion. Sorry, it was just me today. I know it was a lot of talking, a lot of rambling, not a lot of conversation, but I think it was good stuff. And we will be getting back to you guys next week. We get back. We're gonna continue to do these two-part things, just because there's so much college football and so much NFL to cover. It's very hard to get that in one episode because we want to make sure we get it all in depth, because that's what we do, and it's fun for us. So we will come out with episode 31, part one, next week. We get college football, or when the NFL concludes on Sunday. And yeah, so we will see you guys next week on That Damn Sports Podcast. Remember, you can listen to all of our previous episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Go follow us on social media. Go do it right now. We're trying to keep up with everything on there, so you guys are on update of when we're dropping all that kind of stuff on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook at That Damn Sports Podcast, DAM. It's also Gunnel signing out. Thanks for listening to this episode of That Damn Sports Podcast. We will see you guys next week. Peace.